Okay. No, the regulars are not even here. Okay, page 12 in the Sidurim and the Chumashim. We're up to Pasuk Tezayin. Okay? I mean, we started and we didn't really learn it properly. Pasuk Tezvav, I mean, sorry, Tezayin 16 on page 12 and 13. Okay, so Hashem, the last thing we learned, Hashem created Adam, put him in Gan Eden to work and to guard it. We discussed last week why it's the concept Hashem loves Adam and Isha, why is he making him work, and we did that last week. Okay, so now it says like this. Vayitzav Hashem Elokim al Adam Lemer. Hashem commanded Adam and Isha saying that, Mikol Eitz Hagan Ochel Techo, you're allowed to eat from any of the trees of the garden, in Gan Eden, but, Umipri Eitz Adas Tevera, but from the tree of knowledge, of good and bad, Loisechol Mimenu. You shouldn't eat from it. Why? The day you eat from it, you're going to die. Which we'll soon see what exactly that means, because it didn't happen that way, seemingly. Anyway, so it says like this. First of all, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that, you know, the seven mitzvahs v'neinech, the seven noit laws. Really, six of them were given to Adam Rishon. Why they called, because the question is, why are they called seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach? They should be called seven mitzvahs b'nei Adam. Right? We're all children of Adam. We're all children of Noach too, because he was the only one saved from the flood. But the question is, why aren't they called seven mitzvahs b'nei Adam? So the simple answer is, because Adam Rishon, and we're going to see in this pasuk, it teaches us all six. Adam Rishon was given six mitzvahs. Okay, we'll soon see what they are. The seventh mitzvah that a guy is obligated was called Eva Menachai, that you can't eat a live limb off an animal, that wasn't given to Adam Rishon, that was given to Noach. Because until the flood, we already learned, they were not allowed to eat meat. They're not allowed to eat meat. So they can't tell him not to eat a live limb off an animal. You can't eat meat, period. It's fine. Now, so therefore, that mitzvah was given to Noach. So therefore, they're called Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Now, this pasuk, the Maran Sanhedrin says, this pasuk itself alludes to all the prohibitions. Vayitzav, mean Hashem commanded him, the Gemara says that means to set apart a judiciary system. Dinim, one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach is Dinim. Hashem, Hashem, let's say Vayitzav Hashem Elokim. The word Hashem means Hashem, this is what the Gemara says in Sanhedrin. That Hashem is, that Hashem commanded other mission that you can't, God forbid, curse God. Blasphemy. Elokim is against idolatry. Ha'adam is bloodshed. Lamer is adultery. Okay? Mikol Eitzagan, not robbery. Ochel Techel, that you can't eat a live limb off an animal. According to this, that even Adam was given it to, but officially, the halacha is like the opinion that says that Adam and Isha was given six and Noach was given the seventh. Okay? So this pasuk alludes to the six mitzvahs that Adam and Isha was commanded. It's a very thing, it's interesting, it was brought down in Sfarim, that if you want to remember the Sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach, it's Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet, Hei, Vav, Zayin. Aleph is Eivim Minachai. You can't eat a live limb off an animal. Beis is Birchas Hashem, which Birchas doesn't mean God forbid blessing, it means the opposite. Gimel is Gezel, stealing. Dalit is Dinim, that they have to set up a judiciary court system. Hey is Hariga, that you're not allowed to kill. Vav is Ve'idas Nus, which means adultery. And Zayin is Zara, which is Aveda Zara. So these are the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. If you, well, those that come to the Gemara Shir, Sunday morning, we learned that there was one opinion says there are more, a lot of different opinions. The Halach is there's seven mitzvahs B'nei Noach, but a lot of opinions say that they were commanded more mitzvahs than actually seven. Okay? So Hashem says to him like this, from all the trees of the garden you can eat. You could eat from the tree. Now, what does it mean? They'll have to, what is the mitzvah that you have a cheshbon, I mean, that you can nurture your soul from all the trees of the garden. But, the Torah says, Meitza das tevera, from the tree of knowledge, the Torah says, you're not allowed to eat. Now, why not? So first of all, there's two things over here. Why did Hashem not tell him to eat from the tree of life? Why did Hashem only tell him not to eat from the Eitz HaDaas? There's another tree there called Eitz HaChayim. And both were in the middle of the garden. And in fact, we learned last week that they were encircling each other. That they, you know. So why did Hashem forbid the Eitz HaChayim? I mean, the Eitz HaDaas, and not forbid the Eitz HaChayim? So there's a lot of different answers. Some commentaries answer, because there was no need from Adam Rishon to eat from the tree of life, because at this time, he was supposed to live forever. We'll see later when we learn about when Adam Rishon was decreed death. But what some opinions in the Medrash say, Adam Rishon was supposed to live forever. So why would he want to eat from the Eitz HaChayim anyway? He doesn't need to eat, live forever. Eitz HaDaas, he had knowledge. He wanted to get knowledge to know what's good and what's bad. Other Mepharshim say that the tree, the Eitz HaDaas, surrounded the tree of life. So he just couldn't even get to it. So it wasn't even possible for him to eat from the tree. Okay?
Who says this?
The Midrashim. Okay, then it says like this. It said, Lo seichal mimenu. It's another question that Mepharshim ask. Hashem didn't want him to eat from the tree of knowledge. Hashem should have said, Umeit adas tevera lo seichal. Period. Why does it say mimenu from it? Mimenu, the word is extra. It's redundant. You don't need it. Don't eat from the tree. Why does it say mimenu? And also, we'll see, it says, mois tomus. The day you will eat from it, mois tomus, you will die. The double expression. So the Mepharshim says seemingly like this. Mimenu means even part of the tree. Not only can you not eat all the fruits, you cannot even eat part of the fruits. Any part of it. Mimenu, therefore, the Mepharshim say means, it means even the morsel of it. Any part of the tree you're not allowed to eat. Why? Because the day you're going to eat from it, meis tomus, you're going to die. Okay, now what's the double expression, meis tomus? So here there's a whole discussion in the Mepharshim. What do you mean the day you're going to eat from it, he's going to die? Lepoil, he ate from the tree, and he didn't die. He died 930 years later. So the Torah says simply it means the day you eat from it.
Eventually
you die. Oh, so one second. But simply, you're right, one second. Simply it means, the Torah says, define it, the day that you're going to eat from it, you shall surely die. Okay? To my stomach means surely die. Okay, so the Mepharshim explained like this. First of all, you know it says, Ki Adiv Shana Beinecha Ki Emesro. By Hashem, 1,000 years is like one day. Right? So therefore, when Hashem says, B'yayim, he means God's days, which is 1,000, because Adam Rishon was supposed to live 1,000 years, but he was really supposed to live more. Right? But after he decreed that, Hashem, he died at 930. Why didn't he die at 1,000? Because 70 years, according to one opinion, 70 years he gave to David HaMelech. David HaMelech was supposed to be born in Nephil, is still born. So Adam Rishon donated, so there's one opinion. Other opinions say the obvious gave, whatever, there's different explanations. So Adam Rishon actually did die 1,000 years, which by Hashem is one day, the day he ate from it.
But he could have ate the tree of life first and then eat from the... And then he would have...
But I said he couldn't get to it, number one, and there was no reason for him to eat it from it first. Okay.
But if he knew he's gonna die.
One second. Another thing it says, what does it mean? The day? Okay. Number one, this evidence says a few interpretations. What does it mean the day you eat from it you're gonna die? So interesting, they say Adam Rishon ate from the tree on Friday, the day he was created. When he died 930 years later, he also died on a Friday. So they say, what does it mean, B'yayim al chochom imenu? The day that you, meaning you ate from it Friday, you're going to die on Friday.
That's also
Midrash? And that, yeah. This Devin Ezra says. Okay, then it says, death is sometimes synonymous with punishment. Meaning, Hashem doesn't mean necessarily you die, It means you'll be punished. So Hashem punished him. Okay? That the truth is, another, Devinezer says another thing. The truth is, Adam Rishon was supposed to die the day he ate from the tree. Why didn't he die? Because he actually did tshuva. We'll soon see in the psukim, not now, but a little bit later, he actually did tshuva. Huh? Yeah, that the B'chal is known that the Adam Rishon did tshuva. So therefore, Hashem let him live the 1,000 years because he did tshuva. Because we know, by the way, I didn't want to get into it tonight by learning, but when Bezdin kills you, we learned this many times, when Bezdin kills you, capital punishment from the courts, you can't do tshuva. But when Hashem kills you, you could do tshuva. Bezdin doesn't know if you did tshuva or not. Tshuva's in the heart. They don't know what's going really inside. But Hashem does know. So Bezdin can't forgive you for tshuva because Bezdin only knows you committed the crime. They don't know if you did tshuva. So therefore tshuva doesn't help. But when Hashem kills you, then tshuva helps because Hashem knows what's going on inside. So because Adam Rishon did tshuva, he actually did tshuva.
Immediately?
Yeah, right away. As soon as Hashem told, after he blamed his wife, and she blamed the snake, he immediately did tshuva. No, he actually said, the Medrash says he did tshuva right away. Mm-hmm. And therefore Hashem punished, gave him less of it. Now, you also said something, you said, it doesn't mean, when you sin, you will die. You know, it doesn't mean necessarily the day itself is the time you're going to die. So therefore, Adam Rishon LePearl didn't die on the day of the eating of the Eitz Hadas. What was so terrible in the Eitz Hadas that he ended up eating it from it and he was punished because of it. We're going to learn more when we actually get to the time he ate from it. But this is one mitzvah that he had. And we learned last week it's only for 3 hours. And then he was supposed to take the grape and squeeze it and make kiddush on it. So therefore, Adam Rishon, it was so important for him to do this. Hashem wanted that the Medrash says, Neira Lila b'nei Adam, simply made a libel against man. Hashem wanted Adam Rishon to sin, because then he gives the opportunity to doing tshuva. And then the perfection of the world can come not only from Hashem. When Hashem made the world, he made a perfect world. But it's no big deal for Hashem to make a perfect world. Hashem can do whatever he wants. It's Hashem. Of course he makes a perfect world. What Hashem wanted is that we should make a perfect world. So Adam Rishon had to destroy it by sinning. This is all in the plan. He had to destroy it by sinning. And then he did tshuva. So he actually rebuilt a perfect world that the people built, rather than Hashem. Okay, we're going to get there later more when we get there to
Das. Just like Paro that made him hard.
Yes.
The same kind of thing.
Yes. But it's interesting, they bring down over here that they asked Adam Rishon, who brought death upon you? So he answered, this is where you see the tshuva. People asked him, they heard God decreed death eventually when we get there. So they asked Adam Rishon, who brought death unto you? So he said, I brought it upon myself. I did an act. I did it to myself. He says, I'm like a sick man who the doctor warned, you may eat such and such a thing, but not such and such a thing, because you'll be deathly dangerous for you. The sick man ate anyway. So then people asked him, was it the doctor that killed you? Did he misdiagnose you? So he says, no. It's my fault. I ate what I wasn't supposed to eat, and I brought it upon myself. That's the way the concept of tshuva, by the way. Initially, what people usually do when they do something wrong, they always blame somebody else. But they had good teachers, Adam, Chava, the snake. Everybody blamed everybody else. But tshuva is when you take responsibility for your own actions. I'm guilty. It's not blaming anybody else, and I'm sorry for what I did, and I did it. So when Adam was asked, wasn't Hashem who caused you to die? He said, no, I did it to myself, because Hashem told me not to eat from this, and therefore I called my own, this is what the Medrash Tehillim says, and therefore I caused my own death. Okay, let's go into the creation of women. Be'em Hashem Alekim, Hashem said, Le'tev ha'yeisa Adam levadei, it's not good for a person to be alone. Why? So there's a number of interpretations. Rashi brings down from Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, Rashi quotes the Medrash that says, because if a person would be alone, one man, a guy would think, one God, one man, I'm God. I'm a deity. So Hashem says it's just not good for a person to be alone. Because as we learned already and discussed, the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, Adam Rishu was the only creature created alone. All the animals and all the bugs. And Hashem didn't create one, he created many. Adam Rishu was created alone. Okay? So therefore, he should have another person. Because it doesn't say, Rashi says, it doesn't say it's not good for man to be alone. It says it's not good that man should be alone. Not man be alone, but man should be alone, meaning, so Rashi explains, that's why what the Medrash is saying is that he doesn't want a person, it's not good that a person should be alone, not because of the person himself. Because if the person is alone, it's not good because then they'll think they're a God and there's one God and there's him also.
Have too much fun.
Yep. Okay. So therefore, Hashem says like this, Hey Yesa, it's not good for man to be alone. Esalei Eze Kenegdo. I will make a helper corresponding to him. Okay? So what does this mean? The Gemara says, because seemingly, the Gemara asks the question, Ezer means a helper, Kenegdai means against you. So, is it a help or is it against you? Which one is it? So the Gemara says, if you merit Zocha Ezer, Lei Zocha Kenegdai. If you merit, it's a help. If you don't merit, it's against you. That's the expression, Esele Ezer Kenegdai. Okay, so now Hashem says like this. It's not good, so therefore I need to do something. So the Merami Prague explains an interesting point. He said, what's this concept, either helper or against? Like, which one is it? So Merami Prague explains like this. Men and women, in case you didn't know, are opposites. They're opposites. From A to Z, every part of them is different. Emotionally, intellectually, everything, they're different. Or as they say, one's from Mars, one's from Venus. They're completely different. So, if they work to become one, so then each one complements the other in their two opposites, as the expression goes, opposites attract, and then they become one. So then they become one of double force. Not one. The Gemara says in Saita that a person himself can only pick up the weight, a third of the weight that two people pick up together. And one person doesn't pick up half of what two people can pick up together. The Gemara says, by the Meraglim, they learn it out. The Gemara says, we know that a person alone can only pick up a third of what two people put together. So when the Azer works, then it's Azer. And if it's not, then it's two opposites and they don't merge together. So then it becomes that aspect of it. Okay. What? Okay, so what does Hashem do? By the way, there's another issue. Let me explain it now. We're going to learn it a bunch of times anyway. The whole world system of creation in the spiritual realms and in the physical realms is what's called Mashpia Mekabel, giver, receiver. Everything in the world is giving, receiving. The male gives the seed. The woman receives the seeds. The parents give, the children take. The teachers teach, the children take. Everything the boss gives and the worker takes. And everything in life works with Mashpia and Mekabel, a giver and a taker. The whole system works like that. Even the sun and the moon. The sun gives, the sun's the mashpia, giving light, and the moon receives the light of the sun, and then gives it, then is mashpia that to us. So that's the system that Hashem made it like that. Why is it like that in the physical realm? Because in the spiritual realm, God created everything mashpia mekabel. Everything in the spiritual world is what?
Can you go back a second? Why does Adam understand the difference between good and bad at all? Why is dying a bad thing? That sounds like something that we understand. Dying, not being here, is a bad thing. If he has no Eitzahara, why disobeying God shouldn't mean anything at all.
So why did he eat from it? We won't get into the technicality of that one.
No, but just the
I got her on the phone. She's a.
But he has no
Yetzer Hara,
so how can he?
The Yetzer Hara before. No, he did have a Yetzer Hara. Outside of him is the Nachash.
And he understands this?
Yeah. You have to understand, Adam Arishin, in spiritual levels, is extremely, extremely great. He was the formation of God's work, right? We're going to soon see in a pasuk, Hashem brought all the animals to Adam Rishon to name, and we'll explain what that means, what the greatness of Adam Rishon was with that. We learned it in the past, but this is where the pasuk says it. Adam Rishon was unbelievably spiritual man. All the shamas, by the way, of all the Jews, of all future generations, were included in Adam Rishon. Before the Eitz Hadas, even though he's not even going to the Eitz Hadas now, but we'll mention it briefly because we've got to learn it more later. Before the Eitz Hadas, the Yetzahara of the person, of Adam, was in the Nachash. It was outside the person.
He understood
that. When he ate from the tree, he internalized that Yetzahara of the Nachash into himself. Like we mentioned briefly last week, again, we're going to learn more when you get to the Eitz Hadas. He imaginized good and bad. There was good and bad in the world. There was Eitz Hadas, Tov, Vera. The pasuk says, the tree had Tov, Vera, good and bad. But they were distinctively separate. Good was good and bad was bad. Which, by the way, when Mashiach comes and we're going to undo the Eitz Hadas, we're going to go back to pre-Eitz Hadas levels of Kedusha, good will be distinctively good and bad will be distinctively bad. Until Hashem, the Pasuk says, Ruach HaTumah Avim and Arth, and Hashem removes evil from the earth. Then it won't even exist. Emes and Sheker is Tov V'Ra. But what Adam Arishon, and this was a terrible act of the Eitz Hadas, it wasn't Stami ate from a tree. Okay, so he ate from a tree. We also eat from trees. I mean, big deal. We do worse things. What he actually did was, as the Medrash says, once Adam Arishon sinned, there's Ein Tov B'lo Ra, Ve'ein Ra B'lo Tov. There's no good without bad, and there's no bad without good. He imaginized, mixed together, completely, good and bad. What?
But if God doesn't see any bad, why do we?
Can you clarify that statement?
Because you don't know how to
see. We know that Hashem doesn't see a difference between good and bad.
What do you mean it doesn't? He created good and bad.
No, but to him it's all good.
Why?
Ultimately it's good.
Right.
But it openly it's bad.
Because we say it's bad?
No, because Hashem says it's bad. God created evil. You know what we say in Davin? We said this many times. You know, right after Baruch, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokim Melech, Yetzer Ar, Uberi Cheshech, Eser Shalim, Uberi Esakol. Yeah? That's a pasuk in Yeshaya, except the last word is changed. The pasuk in Yeshaya that we're saying, Baruch Atah Hashem, the pasuk says, Yetzer Ar, Uberi Cheshech, Eser Shalim, Uberi Ra. We don't want to say, no, she's still on. You can't say we don't want to say in davening Bere Ra, that God created evil, but that's what the, so you say Bere Esako, created everything. But the Pasuk in Yeshaya actually says Bere Ra. But the difference is, and I'm not getting it, we went into this a million times already. The question is, God created evil as a vehicle and a medium for good to be good. Good can only be good if there's an opportunity to do bad. If you can only do good, then good is not good because you're programmed to do good, like a malach, right? If you're programmed to do good, so when you do good, you didn't do anything. Okay? So Hashem created evil in order for good to be good. So in essence, evil is good. Right? And that's why when Adam and Rishon ate from the tree, in essence it was good because then he was able to do tshuva and reach a level that he couldn't have reached otherwise. But it's still evil because Hashem said don't do it. If Hashem said don't do it, because it's evil. Hashem says don't do it. But in essence, it's really good because there's no, it's not an end by itself. It's only a means to an end. It's a means. In order for good to be good, there has to be the opportunity and the choice to do bad. Okay, so it says like this. Vayit Hashem Elokim min Adam, Hashem created from the earth. Kol chayas hasada, all the animals, called the beasts of the field. Vayit kol eif ha-shamayim, and all the birds of the heaven. Vayavi ala Adam, and he brought them all to Adam Rishon. Liris ma yikrali. To know what, to name them. V'chol asher yikrali ha-Adam, and anything Adam Rishon called them. Nefesh chaya, what he called the living things. Hushmei, that became the name. Okay? Now, we learned already before that the creatures came from the earth, and he brought them to Adam Rishon. Okay? Number one, why did Hashem bring them to Adam Rishon? There's two reasons here. Number one, because by him naming them, he controlled them. He became the king. He was the king of the world. So by him naming them, meaning they became his subjects, because he says, you are what I'm naming you, what are you what I'm naming you, and so on and so forth. That's why he named them. Okay? Now, after the man's response, he says, what happens like this, you don't even bring it down here, because Chassidus brings it down a lot. There's a medrash. The medrash says like this. When Adam Rishon was created, the Malachim, the angels, came to Hashem. It's a basic paraphrasing, who's this new kid on the block? There's a new kid, all alone, a guy all by himself, who's this new guy? So Hashem said to the Malachim, basically, be quiet, he's smarter than you. He's smarter than you. So they said, prove it. So to speak. So it says in the Medrash, Hashem brought all the animals to the Malachim and said the Malachim named them. And they couldn't. He brought all the animals, like this pasuk says, to Adam Rishon and he named them. As the Medrash uses the expression that Adam Rishon said, Lazan Noa Likris Sus, Lazan Noa Likris Chamor, Lazan Noa Likris Gomol. And as for this, it's proper to call him dog, cat, whatever the name was. So the obvious question is, every person that owns a pet names them. Right? Go to the dog park here, they all have names. Huh? They all have names.
Yeah, but isn't that more of a species than a name?
No, but even the species. No, but the question is, what's so hard about giving a name? Tom, Dick, Harry, Joe, Schmo. I mean, what's the big wisdom of the name? So the explanation, and this is understand, well, if Hashem proved this to Adam Rishon, then this makes it worse why he ate from the tree of, why he ate from the Eitz Hadas. The name of a person is the lifeline of a person. The neshama's connection to the body is through the name. Therefore, when you call somebody by name, they turn to you. They turn to you because you draw the neshama and the body to turn to you. So neshama, Chassidus elaborates on this all over the place, that the name, the Jewish name of a person, and so Jewish names are so important, that is the lifeline of the person. So if somebody is called Avraham, the lifeline of his neshama in the body is Aleph, Beis, Reish, Hei, Mem. And therefore all the people that have the name Avraham have something in common. Something in common. You could have a good Avram and a bad Avram, but they have something in common because of the lifeline. And therefore it says, what was Adam Rishon's greatness that the Malachim couldn't do? It wasn't the concept, okay, give him a name, Tom Dikari. Big deal, not anybody could do that. When Hashem brought the horse in front of the Malachim, basically what Hashem wanted them to do is, do you see the lifeline of this animal and understand that the lifeline of this animal from Hashem is the letter Samach Vav Samach? And they couldn't do it. They couldn't name it because they didn't see the godliness that's giving this animal life to be able to understand what the name is. The greatness of Adam Rishon was, Adam Rishon looked at the horse, and Adam Rishon saw that the life of this horse from Hashem is coming through the letters Samach Vav Samach. He looked at a donkey, he was able to tell that the lifeline of this donkey, of this chad, Yechad, is Ches Mem Vav Resh. That was his greatness. So he was so great that he was able to see the spiritual lifeline of this animal in which letters it manifests itself, how it comes down. 1 second. Okay? This was the greatness of Adam Rishon. So Hashem proved to the Malachim that Adam Rishon was greater than them by showing simply he was able to do something that they had no connection whatsoever to do. Therefore it says in Svarim, we mentioned this many times, when a baby is born, God gives a prophecy to the parents what to name the baby. It's a prophecy given to the... They don't realize it's a prophecy. They think they're naming it after this one or after that one, or not for this one, not for that one, whatever. But the name that a parent gives a child, therefore we said, when people would ask the Rebbe, they had a baby, what name should they give it? The Rebbe always said, it's a prophecy given to you, I'm not mixing it. It's your prophecy. Older people, the Rebbe would give names to. But it's a prophecy the parents get. Therefore, logically, by the way, no parents, no in-laws, outlaws, nobody's allowed to mix into the name. It's a din of the parents. The parents are given the prophecy what the name should be, because that is the lifeline of that person's neshama into the body. What?
Or can and Abel conceive before or after the son?
It's a big argument that Medrash will, when we get there, it's, we'll learn.
So
two opinions.
Some kids, they don't have a Hebrew name?
They have, they don't know about it.
So they didn't get the prop?
No. The parents, let's say they're unaffiliated, whatever, they only gave them a Goyish name. That doesn't mean they don't have a Jewish name. The parents are unaware of the Jewish name, and the kid is unaware of the, but they have the Jewish name regardless, which is the letters of the lifeline of the neshama in the body. They're just unaware of it. What?
Well, kind of almost the same question. What happens if, like you said, people do interfere? Sorry. And then say there is a name. So, and what if there is a name that they interfered, so to speak? So what happens to that name?
And they gave the name because of that?
They gave the name because of the interfering parents.
So then that was the, that's what Hashem wanted.
The
I told you there was a case here in LA. There was a case here in LA many years ago. The parents, it was a boy. Before the birth, the parents were not arguing. They both made up the name they're going to give the kid. They both agreed on the name. It comes at the birth. They say, V'yikar Ishmael B'Yisrael. And the father says a different name. And the mother went, what? And he said, he doesn't know why. He doesn't know why it happened. Not that they're disagreeing in the name and he got. Apparently they kept the name that he gave it to Bris.
He probably got it for next month.
No, they didn't. He said, it just came out of my mouth. Meaning that's what Hashem wanted him to name the kid.
That's how you compromise.
Okay, but...
What about if he's lying?
Yes, whatever you want.
Jews never lie. What's so funny about that?
Especially the men.
Oh, men never lie. Women never lie. By the way, I read a survey. I don't know when the survey is from. About men and women lying. Guess who lies more?
Men.
No. According to the survey, women lie more than men. Just by the way. I'm not going to tell you anything more than that.
They're afraid of their husband.
Okay.
Or when you're afraid, when you're scared of someone.
Okay, let's start. Okay. Next. So Hashem brings all the animals, lirais, to see, in other words, what had the great, to prove, not only to see, to prove the greatness of Adam Rishon. So you see, Adam Rishon was extremely spiritually great, but greater than the Malachim. The angels couldn't do it, and Adam Rishon was able to do it.
So how come Adam Rishon could come out to non-Jews?
Because he was the father of all mankind. And then once Avram came, then it became. But this that it says, by the way, in Kabbalah and the Medrashim, that the neshamas of all future generations all came from Adam Rishon, is only Yiddish and Jewish neshamas. Only Jewish neshamas were included in Adam Rishon. By the way, that explains how is it possible to have Avas Yisrael. How can you love somebody else if you're you and I'm me, and me comes before you. So how can you, right? So, in a lower level, the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, that because what differentiates me from you is only our body. I'm different than you in body. My soul, your soul, his soul, her soul, the same soul. It's all part of God. So if your soul is more important than your body, so then you can have Avos Yisrael, because then, so I realize you and me are the same, we're part of the same body. But if you look, the body is the primary by the person, you'll never come to Avos Yisrael, because I am different than you, and that's the bottom line. But it goes even stronger than that. All neshamas are actually from one other Marishan. So they're just different parts. In other words, there are neshamas of leaders, of tzaddikim, of rebbes, which are Rosh B'nai Yisrael, right? They were included in Adam Rishon's head. Certain neshamas were the hands of Adam Rishon, the stomach of Adam Rishon, the toenails of Adam Rishon, some are the ingrown toenails of Adam Rishon. But the bottom line is, all neshamas were part of Adam Rishon. So therefore, me and you, and her and him and everybody, it's the same body. We come from the same place. The right hand never gets into a fight with the left hand.
So how did Goy can come from the...
Because he was the father, but once Avraham Avinu came onto the scene, that's when Jews began. But the neshamas, it says in Kabbalah, that is all right. All neshamas were included in Adam Rishon. That basically is Jewish neshamas.
So when Hashem created Adam and Chava, didn't he create them as a Jew?
No. Was Adam a Jew?
That's what I'm asking.
Was Noach a Jew? He was a fine gentleman. Mm-hmm. Who was the first Jew?
Avram.
Hello?
Avram, but you expected to start it, Hashem started the world.
Why is Avram the first Jew and not Adam and Noach?
Because he was raised.
No, he was a Jew before Bris Mila also. He's 99, he was a Jew from the... Why?
Because he was...
I had a fight with a few people. They why is Avram... First of all, Torah says Avram Avinu was the first Yid, right? Echad Avram.
Destroyed the idol.
No, the reason very simple. When God created Adam Rishon, God appeared to Adam Rishon. When God... So Hashem came to Noach. The uniqueness of Avram is that he recognized the greatness of God, the existence of God on his own. That's what made him the first Jew. Ben Shalashem Hikar is Bayre. He didn't come because God revealed himself to Adam Rishon and like Hashem revealed himself to Noach. Because then he came from above. Why did Avram merit to be considered the first Jew? Was because he came to this realization of the existence of Hashem at the age of 3 or 40, whatever the ages are. And then he connected himself to Hashem. So because of that, all his children were Jewish. And before Matan Torah, the official Jews becoming Jews, yeah, was Matan Torah. Well, a lot of dinim of conversion we learn out from Matan Torah, because Matan Torah was the ultimate, the real conversion of the Jew. Before Matan Torah, you believed in God, you were considered Jewish. You didn't believe in God, you weren't considered Jewish. That's all it was. What made a Jew with a neshama that, you know, what if all generations? That Matan Torah did. Adam and Ishan learned Torah, Noach learned Torah. Rashi says in Chumash, Noach learned Torah. How else, if he didn't, how did he know kosher animals, non-kosher animals? Says, we can, Rashi says, Shalom ad Noach Torah. Rashi and Noach says, that Noach learned Torah, Adam and Ishan learned Torah. But what made him the first Jew was the fact that he came to that realization on his own.
But it's still part of the big neshama.
Right? But goyim were not included in the soul of Adam and Ishan.
No. Where
do
they come from?
Where does the soul of everybody else come from? I mean, everything. Where? God, but not...
Not
part of God that got blew into Adam and Ishan. Not blowing. Blowing means the essence comes out.
So Adam is their father or
not? What?
Adam is not their father then?
Adam is the father of all nationalities. So is Avram. Hashem told him, Avam Mangoyim, you're the father of all nations.
Physically.
But the classification of Jews. Avam Mangoyim, all Goyim.
Hamon is many.
No, okay. If a Ger Davins, a convert Davins, he says, Elkei Avraham, Elkei Yitzchak, Elkei Aviseinu, Elkei Avraham, Elkei Yitzchak, Elkei Yaakov. It's not the word, he didn't come from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. How could he say, Elkei Yitzchak, Elkei Aviseinu? So it says in Shulchan Aruch, how is the God, well, how does the Ger Davin? It says, he Davin like everybody else, Elkei Yitzchak, Elkei Aviseinu. How? Because Avraham Avinu is Havam and Goyim. Avraham Avinu is the father of all Goyim, of all nations. So therefore, he is a descendant of Avraham Avinu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Yaakov.
There's not a lot of non-Jews that is not from Avraham.
I understand, but spiritually speaking, he was the father of all nations. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Avraham Avinu was one person. He can't be...
Right.
So, wasn't that Avraham had... Yitzchak and Ishmael, then Ishmael become the Muslims.
First, that's questionable. Yeah, everybody says the Ishmael is the father of all Arabs. There's an Ibn Ezra in Toldos, at the end of Parshas Toldos, that writes that the Arabs today are not descendants of Ishmael. That's what Ibn Ezra writes. At the end of Parshas Toldos. Says it clearly. That the Arabs today are not descendants of Yishmael. The world says they are, whatever it is. What difference does it make, B'chol? Doesn't really matter, I mean. Okay, but...
And everyone said they're a mix of Russians and Africans, and even the ones that are, they have no shaykhs to Mas Machpelah.
What was the question, man?
I don't know, Marcel Machpelah, but...
no question.
They say that he has a connection to Marcel Machpelah, but said, even the few that do, they have no connection.
First of all, after Sancheriv came, Ubilbalas Kolelam Kulid Gemar says, Sancheriv came, yeah, which was in the time of the first Beis Hamikdash, and Sancheriv came and destroyed, mixed up the whole world. He took people from every country, moved them to a different country. That there should be no powerful country because everybody was mixed with everybody else in different countries. That's what the Gemara says, for instance. A Mitzri, yeah, the Gemara says, the Torah says, a Mitzri who converts cannot marry a Jewish girl for 3 generations. Right? Amin Amoyev can never, Liyavi Amenu Miyavi Bekalasha. Right? So the Gemara says how... So the Gemara says that because Bas and Chevel Bilbo is Kol Ha'ilam, yeah, so nobody's from any country anymore. Mitzri is not from Mitzrayim, and Arab is not from Arab, And Amin is not from Amin, and the Mayav is not from Mayav, and nobody's from anywhere. Everybody got mixed up, the Gemara says.
Even the Jews?
No. Jews are never mixed up.
I mean, the tribes maybe.
The Jews do it themselves.
But the
Yisav et Tavid Amal says until him, by Yisarvu, by Goyim, by Yomdu Maseim. The Jews mixed up with the Goyim and they learned from their actions.
I'm saying the tribes
lost
got
tribes.
Mixed up.
Huh?
The 10 lost tribes?
No.
We lost.
Nobody knows where they are.
But we also got mixed. The tribes also got mixed.
Nobody really knows what happened. No, even in Titus says it's not clear
what
exactly.
Say Ethiopia or whatever, China in some places, whatever, they're Jews and whatever, you know.
The Aztecs and the.
Yeah.
Okay. So it says like this. Vayikra Adam, that's the one for Pasuk. Vayikra Adam Shemes, Adam Rishon called names. L'chol ha-beim ha-loif ha-shamayim, for the animals and birds. L'chol chaya sasodah, to all the beasts of the field. L'adam le'matza eze kenegdi. And Adam Rishon did not find somebody similar to him. In other words, like this. Adam, he found no helpmate, so to speak. And one of the reasons why Hashem actually told him to name all the animals, he should realize that he's different than all of them. And therefore, he needs another woman. He needs a woman. So therefore, Hashem, as we'll learn, created a woman. Because he needed... This is all before the sin. Oh, no, the names... No, this... This probably, it implies... No, it can't. This happened before Adam and Chava, because it says Chava wasn't created yet. This happened before Chava was created.
That happened before he realizes the essence is different, so it has to
be. Yeah, so she couldn't have been created yet. Even though, the truth is, according to the Medrash, Adam and Chava bore Siamese twins, back to back. Medrash, there's many different opinions, but one opinion of Medrash, they're actually born back to back, and then Hashem separated them when he did the rib thing.
So how could Adam would name the people if side by side and the same time and not Chava?
Oh, how do they function?
No. You just told me.
If David as a single person, how can you just say Adam did sin and people. Not Chava? That's a question?
No, she's asking, so how come Chava didn't name if she was around then?
They born the same
I'm sure. I'm same sure she whispered in her ear, in his ear, what to name him. Now you're happy?
Yeah.
Okay. As long as you're happy. Okay. By the way,